It's June 7th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains, right near Los Gatos, broadcasting from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And so we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge in California. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw Natural Food. Raw food, really high quality, high tasting, great munchy food. Also,
Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Apparently, as of yesterday, Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee for president. And apparently, Donald Trump will be what the Republicans are serving up to be the commander-in-chief of these United States. Apparently, this is the best the American public can come up with to lead itself. So, apparently, seems to be a good word to focus on as our featured phrase of the week. I guess apparently is not really a phrase, is it? But it still packs a wallop, as we'll see tonight. Because when something is apparent, it seems to be so. If that is the case, then I would suggest that America is coming apart at the seams. Indeed, we are a fragmented culture, apparently. But as we know, appearances can be deceptive. Tonight, we'll see if we can untangle the appearances from the realities of our lives. There is so much we take for granted that just seems apparent and is never questioned, apparently. As Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. So be it. So let's examine our lives together tonight and see if we can make them more worthwhile.
Amen.
What can I say? There's so much appearance. I remember taking a Shakespeare course. One of the things the teacher emphasized was appearance and reality in so many of Shakespeare's plays. The woman dressed as the man and the man dressed as the woman, and neither of them knowing which bathroom to use in the great schools of America.
I'm so glad he wasn't around to
neither
see that.
Neither Ophelia from Hamlet or Oliva, whichever play she was. I can't remember. There were just so many plays, 37 to be exact. But he had a way with words, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He definitely did. Apparently, he was a master.
He was a master. So, getting into the seams and looking at, for example, this situation in America, we've had a build-up to this, and it's been kind of imminent, ready to come. Because the polarization was getting so extreme in terms of the political parties, the two of them, the two big ones, actually. They were so at each other, and one was especially just so angry that they would do anything to keep this other one from being on top. And it created such polarization that I believe the Republican Party, at least with regard to this current event of the presidential election, seems to have imploded.
Apparently, it does seem that way. What's interesting is that as I look at these two candidates, or at least apparently these two candidates, I'm convinced that our consciousness is very infantile. People play off our lowest emotions. And the lowest emotions can be the most dangerous.
Especially if they've got some high-tech weaponry.
I was reading something today. It said, the economy scares people when it's not a good economy. When people are losing their jobs, when people don't have work. And then on the same series of programs, I read that it's going to get worse because we're going to start having artificial intelligence take over factories and places like this. So the worker, the American worker, is becoming obsolete like the dinosaurs.
I didn't tell you this, but I interviewed three different forms of artificial intelligence recently to take over parts of my mind that I didn't feel like I need to attend to. For example, one of the artificial intelligence to come into my mind and make it more intelligent.
Well, artificial intelligence can't really do that.
That was the problem. It was artificial. Again, appearance. Apparently, it was real intelligence, but it was an artificial intelligence because it was based upon the notion that we're all separate from each other and that we have to dominate and control and resist in order to secure our lives. The whole economy, of course, is based upon that as a basic assumption.
Apparently, yes, because we get scared when it looks like we have something to lose. And if we have something to lose, like our income, which means we lose our houses, our cars, we lose all those things that we're paying for because so many people buy things to pay off so they can have something nice. But if you don't have money coming in, you can't pay that off, and then you don't have it anymore. Apparently, if your image of yourself is based on what you have, and what you have is going to be gone, you're going to get real scared. And if somebody comes along and tells you that they're the ones that are doing this to you, da-da, apparently we're in a crisis.
Apparently, that is so. But let me ask Professor Umbridge, because you're looking at it from across the ocean, from England. How do you look at this whole dilemma?
Oh, good evening. Of course, so glad to be here. And we are watching it with apt attention, mind you. And we are wondering what has possessed you all to act out this way and to put people in position to lead you that you don't seem to be very happy with. So we would consider that somewhat, well, deranged. There's arranged and there's deranged. Quite frankly, there are those of us who look upon Americans as deranged. The difference being is that the deranged person acts on the assumption that what he thinks is what he thinks he knows, and what he knows is not what he thinks, and he can't get the two straightened out. As a result, he gets deranged. Like a truck going off the siding over there, and its wheels are spinning, but it's not actually going anywhere.
Wheels spinning, but not going anywhere. That's you're flat on your back. The truck is on its back.
Exactly. So we are sending our representatives now over to infiltrate in America, and we're having them disguised as artificial intelligence. So the Americans, like you, Errol, for example, having interviews, and I think it was a very good idea that you should have someone take over parts of your mind. As I've known you over the years, I've seen a tendency towards derangement in yourself from time to time, if not an actual acquiring of the derangement. So jolly good belief for you to have someone take over parts of your intelligence. With all due respect, but I'd have to say anything would be an improvement, apparently. Nothing personal.
Oh, Professor, that wasn't nice.
Oh, I'm just kidding here. I like to tease him because he's so laughable and cute, and he's such a delightful...
Well, and he's cute. He gets away with murder. No, not murder. He's apparently never done anything like that. But He's cute, so he gets away with a lot. Apparently. When you were talking about the upcoming presidential election of the United States, in which it looks like we have Donald Trump on this hand and Hillary Clinton on this hand, apparently, I have no idea why people hate her so much. And then I realized that, you know, if she were a man doing exactly what she does all the time, being strong, aggressive, moving through things, negotiating, doing what everybody does, they would not hate her. They would just think that was normal. That's what men do. But the fact that a woman is doing it can cause a great deal of apprehension in men. Apparently, men are very scared of very, very strong women, especially strong men. I'm more scared of strong women because they think, oh my God, they're going to eclipse me. I don't feel that way.
It's important to be reminded that everything is not what it seems.
Well, you know, everything's gonna be a breeze. At the end, we'll no doubt justify the means. You can fix any problem with the slightest of ease. Yes, please. We might find out it'll go to your head when you write a report on a book you never read. With the snap of your fingers, you can make your bed. That's why.
Thank you, Selena Gomez, for reminding us. Be careful not to mess with the balance of things. There's hitting the head right on the nail.
Oh, apparently that is very crucial to our consciousness, awareness of that.
Bernie Sanders is pointing out something that some might regard as an out of balance, that 1% of the population controls so much of the wealth. What part of the wealth do they control now?
A lot.
A big portion of it. It's not balanced. A society that is unbalanced are like two plates, not Titanic plates, but Teutonic, something
Teutonic.
Like that.
A
it
royal
sounds like a knighthood.
Empire. The Teutonics are meeting in the ring.
I wanted to join the Teutonics when I was a little kid because they're the ones that wore that big high hat.
Nobody takes little kids into Teutonics.
Well,
they had to be bigger.
There was a small Teutonic group.
A youth Teutonic group. Sound like Germans.
Speaking of Germans, Professor Schnitzel, from your point of view, what's it like looking at us over here and what we're doing and what's going on?
Oh, yeah, this is a very interesting thing to watch here. It does bring back memories of 1933 when we elected Hitler, and it was a curious time for Germany. They are deeply humiliated, and they are looking for both an escape and a scapegoat. They have one in the Jews for centuries. They just pick up on something that was actually a going concern, which was anti-Semitism. It can be any anti-someone who we make responsible for the troubles of our lives. So we bring someone in who will carry out that prejudice and possible cruelty of others. And that makes those of us who aren't that feel more secure, even though we will not necessarily be any more financially secure. But that's how crazy the people are in America. They don't take it to the next step of thinking that it won't really make them any more secure, but they will have the appearance of being more secure at someone else's expense, apparently.
I also heard something the other day about the government gives everybody a living wage. Everybody gets the same amount of money, every single person, for a certain amount of time. They are those who can do something with that money and turn it into something else, entrepreneurship, or get to do something they really love. finish school, get a degree in something that's brand new and exciting, do art. Finland is coming close to doing that. And the Swiss just voted against it, the Swiss government, but they had it on the ballot. People were talking about it. Would it make a difference in terms of the way we respond to each other and ourselves if we all had enough money to live comfortably, have an automobile, eat the food we want, and that was it? Would it make a difference? And that was the big question. Do you know the answer to that question?
Do you want the quick answer, the user's guide, open it up, get it plugged in right away, quick answer? Do you want the long, extended, multisyllabic answer that I'm already started into?
A quick answer? Apparently, I would rather have a quick answer because the other one sounds very long.
It was so long, I couldn't even see the end. So here's the quick answer. No.
Apparently. Of course not. And most of the people that were being interviewed were very positive about how we would just all turn into beautiful, caring people if we had enough money. And it was so naive.
There's no security in the finite.
Of course not. And if you don't feel secure within you, nothing you have is going to make you secure.
Therein lies the reason, not the least of which is this reason of feeling secure, to tap into that which can secure you. A good place to start is to ask the question, what's securing you now?
What's this chair. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what to say when you make a remark like that.
Apparently you don't, because I got you absolutely quiet for the other thing. He ran out of words. He was speechless.
I just want to emphasize this mysterious phenomenon that has to do with nothing as it seems. It's so incredible. This is Lily Kershaw, and she has a song about as it seems.
Well, I knew what I didn't want to know, and I saw where I didn't want to go, so I took the path less traveled on, and I'll let my stories be whispered when I'm gone. When I'm gone, when I'm you must find something to live for, 'cause when the darkness comes a-calling, you go back to where you were before. 'Cause this life is as fragile as a dream, and nothing's ever really as it seems. As it seems. As it seems. It's
That was very lovely.
Thank you, Lily Kershaw. That was As It Seems. Life is fragile. What did she say? Fragile as a dream.
That's right. I love that line.
From the Course of Miracles perspective, and for those of you who haven't read or are not familiar with it, the Course in Miracles is a course in, how can I put it, miracles.
Love.
Yes, it is a course in love. And the Course in Miracles actually has a very simple premise, and that is there's love or there's fear. If you let fear control you, then you'll live a fear-driven life.
And fear, as we know, is usually replied to with flight or fight.
Or a love-driven life.
Apparently.
What made me think of it was this idea of a dream, because from the Course in Miracles point of view, it's all an illusion, and we've said this before, and I thought, Rochelle, you made a good distinction. What makes an illusion? Well, it's temporary. It just has a limited time here. It's a dream that we're actually having. And what the Course does, and it's a series of 365 lessons, as well as a whole kind of conceptual framework, so you understand it. It's extremely powerful because every day it works to help us make this shift from what they describe as the bad dream into a good dream. Because it's all a dream in the finite if it's happening inside our minds. That's all poof, codified into some kind of visual or tactile image. But eventually, poof, it's gone. But they say if your dream is more like reality, then it's easier to cross that bridge into reality when the time comes to do that.
You have love dreams instead of fear dreams.
Apparently. Basically, they have love dreams instead of those kind of dreams. Barney, what's apparent or not apparent to you, buddy?
Well, hi, Dad. Yeah, this is Barney. And apparently, there's a lot of folks that I know in my neighborhood who have a lot of attitude here. It's like sticking the finger in your face kind of attitude. And I had this thought that, quite frankly, Donald Trump is America's way of giving the government the finger. Think about it. Donald Trump is the finger given by the American people to the powers that be in the government because they feel helpless. The irony of this whole thing with this guy is, here's the people who are struggling for money, and we got the billionaire who clearly lives in the 1% class. And then you got over on the other side here, my friend Bernie, because I knew Bernie when he was younger, before he was like a hotshot senator. You know, he was from the neighborhood. He wasn't far from me. I knew the Sanders family a little bit, not a lot. You know, I don't want to take credit for more than it was due. I actually waved to him when he was driving by in his car. But what can I say? I felt like I knew him because I knew what it was like to be in that kind of car. I figured he must be like me.
Apparently, you're going to go on until you get to your point.
Well, and he's like against the 1%. America's like actually looking at him. It's a pretty close race. I'm waiting. I'm watching the TV right now because you got this California race is just finishing. As of now, the polls have closed.
Well, somebody said something about Bernie Sanders staying in this race for as long as it is a race. Because whoever is the true candidate or whoever becomes president, hear that voice. Hear the voice of the dissatisfaction. We're tired of being shat upon, so to speak. Get us out of the muck. Because if you don't hear that voice and you're the president of this country, you are missing the people that you're presiding over. Because that voice has been very strong in these primaries. Obviously, that voice of giving the finger is out there big and powerful with Donald Trump. He's a liar, and he is a lie. Did you hear this latest thing?
With the judge, the Mexican judge?
I couldn't believe that. He wants him excused from his trial, which he is totally awful about what happened there. And... So excuse this guy because he has Mexican ancestry. Therefore, I'll get a judge who rule in my favor.
If I could say just one more thing, serves us right. That's all. Apparently it does, Barney. Thank you. We here in California, a very diverse state, and we live on this wonderful resort where you don't have to wear clothes if you don't want to, and I appreciate that. And we're in Northern California, which is beautiful, and we have a sponsor of Go Raw who are so supportive and continue to be and are contributing so positively to the world. And then we have our other sponsor, which is Job One for Humanity.
Universe Spirit is this overall company.
Campbell Soup was thinking of buying them out, but I guess it's...
No. Don't
Procter
go there.
And Gamble?
Don't go there.
Fundamentally, there's this insecurity. The thing you got to remember is that there's not... Well, you don't got to remember. You have a choice, actually, whether you remember it or not. But to be brief.
Not possible, Errol. Go ahead. Apparently,
we have this opportunity at this point in time to consider that maybe these two disgruntled groups should start having a conversation, and maybe they'll find they have more in common than they thought.
What groups?
The Bernie Sanders giving their version of the finger to the 1% and the other version, Donald Trump group.
He's those not people. Giving his finger to the 1%.
He isn't.
He is the 1%.
That's right.
What he's doing is he's not giving fingers at anything other than that which opposes him. Anything that opposes him, he wants to get rid of. Even if it's the image opposes him, he can't stand the thought of foreigners taking over the United States, even though the United States was founded by foreigners. The only real Americans are all the Native Americans.
And at one point, they were foreigners, too. About 80,000 years ago, they were foreigners. So who was there before them? The Ewoks. And that's what people need to remember. The Ewoks from
Star Wars.
Yeah, they were the first. First Americans. You heard it here.
Anyway, you're afraid that you may not make your payments. You're afraid. And somebody comes along and he says, I'm going to get you out of the state. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to put the coal miners back to work when coal is disrupting our atmosphere. Okay, so don't think about that. Just tell them what they want to hear. And then if everybody hears what they want to hear, they think this guy is great because he's telling them just what they want to hear. And that's scary. Apparently, there's no integrity. Go ahead. I interrupted you. Apparently.
You interrupt me? Far be
it. I get very excited with some things. It's really hard to wait for you to finish when I know what the next three words are going to be before I jump in.
Imagine living with that.
Oh, it's not fun.
Well, it's made me quicker, but it hasn't. I've actually failed in that regard.
Well, I'll publicly apologize to you.
This is a public apology. You heard it here on Inside Out, The Naked Truth. So the issue of security, that's what I want to address. How do we feel secure? I was just listening to a program we did some months ago. I think it was called You Sure, and it was about certainty. And we talked about the universe is offering us security with uncertainty. So the question is, how can we avail ourselves that security? But before we move on to that, it would be important to talk about an aspect of how Donald Trump may appear to some people and what they might think of him. Perhaps like this fella here, who has this to say about apparently.
Asshole and inconsiderate so-and-so for the things I did and the things I didn't and the things I should have known. I make the men put up their fists and I make the ladies cry, cause apparently I am an asshole in a different set of eyes. Well, the sky is dark and starlit when I get up and go to work. I don't wake her up to say goodbye, oh, what a selfish jerk. When I get home and look to find that the dishes aren't done, I know I should have stayed and done my chores instead of having fun. And apparently I am an asshole and inconsiderate so-and-so for the things I did and the things I didn't, the things I should have known. I make the men put up their fists and I make the ladies cry, cause apparently I am an asshole in a different set of eyes. When the kids come up and ask me, oh, when do we get to eat? We've had nothing but some candy from the neighbor down the street. Oh, the children are a wild bunch, by themselves they're left to fend. Well, I hear a call out from the door, I'm off to see some friends. And apparently I'm an asshole and inconsiderate so-and-so for the things I did, the things I did, the things I should've known. I make the men put up their fists and I make the ladies cry, cause apparently I'm an asshole in a different set of eyes. Well, she comes home next to midnight, fresh stains all down her shirt, with a whiskey clinging to her breath, my heart is filled with hurt. I say to her, my darling dear, would you like to sit with me? Fuck off, she says, you asshole, I'm gonna get some sleep. And apparently I'm an asshole and inconsiderate so-and-so for the things I did, the things I did, I should have known. I make the men put up their fists and I make the ladies cry, cause apparently I'm an asshole in a different set of eyes.
Apparently I'm an asshole in a different set of eyes. That was Meatloaf. No, that wasn't Meatloaf.
That was a steak.
No. That was Tyree Parkin singing that song. There is the asshole aspect of our nature.
You put those two together. That's pretty good.
Which we have to ascertain. I won't go on. I'll spare you.
I'm so aware of my own, I won't call them failings, because they're not. They're just my immaturity and the things that scare me and the way I deal with my
fear.
No,
I think you should call them failings. I always liked it when you call them failings. I always made me feel better.
Okay. To make you feel better, I'll call them failings.
Thank you.
I watch them and I watch little triggers, buttons get pushed, and I get frightened and how I react to that. I'm a fighter. I go into fight. I want to squash that which I thought made me afraid. The person that pushes the button becomes the enemy.
And when you see that 4 feet, 10 inches of Rochelle Strider coming out of you, get out of the way. Believe me, I have been a recipient of that fighter gal.
Fear. The fear around the fear. What I was trying to say is that apparently it's not easy to walk away from our fear. I told someone once, it's not that you can just stop being frightened. It's just the time it takes to recognize your fear and then switch to love. When that gets closer and closer, the fear comes up and you're in love. That's 2 seconds. But the fear comes up and maybe an hour, a day or two later, you can deal with it. When you keep shortening that and it gets to the point where maybe there's a few minutes between, oh, I'm screaming and yelling and whoops, I can love the fact that I got frightened and I'm back in love.
Hey, good evening now. This is Father O'Malley. Until we recognize that we have the fear, it won't be recognized, the fear. And one of the things the fear likes to do is disguise itself as things so you don't recognize it. Because once you know it's fear that's driving you, well, you won't stand for it. You ask yourself, with all due self-respect, do I want my life to be driven by fear? Can I respect myself if that's the case? Or do I want my life to be driven by love? Well, there, I can respect myself, apparently. So making the transition from the fear, I like what you said earlier about the dream. You start dreaming
something that looks more like the reality. And that's when things are in union and unified, and when there's mutual support, and when you go off into this departure called the ego, you know how you could get back. Because everyone, as long as you're in flesh, is going to have this little dance with the part of you that keeps thinking it's separate from everything else. Which is one reason why they made death. Because obviously some people weren't going to make that shift in their awareness while they were alive. So they have another chance. And that's why it's important that people understand that who they really are is permanently secured by the source and foundation of all life. The very ground of being is right now being grounded for you to be. You don't have to worry. I mean, it'll be difficult, some of it, but you're always secure, apparently.
Most interesting things I've learned living in a small community where all levels of humanity that would take place in a large city are compressed into a small area of space. I've been very isolated in many ways by living around people who thought like I did and practiced certain things the way I did. And it was very like looking in a mirror, but with different faces. To be in a community where not everybody thinks like I do, sees things the way I see them. They all see them differently. The nice thing is to be able to realize that there is validity in everybody's point of view. But it's not easy. Errol did turn his phone off, apparently.
It's so rare that anyone calls that I don't even think about it turning it off.
But this time, you think that everybody on the planet knows that we're doing a radio show from 7 to 8. The point of view that we put out here is not the most accepted point of view in this country by a lot of people.
Apparently,
there's a lot of people that we vibrate with and resonate with, and we're talking mostly to those people. We're talking about something that we hope that people who don't resonate with this, because we apparently think this is a better way to live than to live out of fear. It's more productive, certainly more peaceful, just not having anxiety. I have a friend who used to call it Spilkus.
You have to admit it, you kind of miss the Spilkus, don't you?
I keep a certain percentage of them around.
You know, if you mix Spilkas in with your egg milk mix that you make,
Kyle, no, don't
French
even.
Spilkas are what you add to the egg batter in French toast to make it flavorful and even frothy.
Apparently, he is making all that up because it's just where your stomach goes into a state of anxiety. That's what it is. And because you're afraid, because you get frightened. I have a friend, everything worries her. She's constantly in a state of worry. I mean, what if this happens? What if I don't have this, then this will happen? What if I have too much of this? What if the plane that I'm going to go on to in 3 weeks crashes, then I won't be here anymore? It's so easy to worry. I realized one day that if I put out fear, then the thing I'm frightened of won't happen. Like making loud noise, like a gorilla. You scare away that which you're afraid of by being so vocally frightened and worried and everything. Well, I discovered after many years of being like that, that it doesn't do that. All it does is create more anxiety in my body. And so I decided to give it up.
Good. It's gone. Goodbye.
It's going.
As has been pointed out to us by you to me so often, the time gap between when you recognize that you've got the fear, that you've been sucked away into the world of resistance, justified by whatever assumptions you may have made about what will be safe and what won't be safe.
Wow, that was a great sentence, Errol Strider. That was a long sentence that you did all in one breath.
I don't know if you know this. Charles Dickens was paid by the word. I'm paid by the word in terms of the length of my sentences. I get more air to breathe.
Listen, just remember, everybody who's listening to the show, I live with this man. So you only have to listen to him 1 hour a week.
Come on. We don't have to apologize for me.
although apparently I sometimes need apologizing for, right, my friend Rabbi Greenberg? Let's put it this way. You can be a little bratty sometimes.
Why are we picking on Errol tonight?
Knows we love him. It's an opportunity. It's good because, as you said yourself, didn't you? You have to first recognize the fear. So sometimes your best friend is your best friend because they'll help you see it. Huh? Well, yeah, I guess so. Bratty, huh? What do you think the brattiness is about? Bratty? Ooh, I hate that word. Bratty? Really? Like a brat? I hate brats.
Really?
Well, that's the first thing you got to do is you got to take the judgment off the brat. It's like whatever, it's judgment is a clothes, apparel that you put on that has sharp razor blades and pointed objects on the inside of the outfit is the guilt and the judgment. And that's what you put on. It hurts. Take that thing off. That's the first thing. It's just being a brat. What's a brat? It's someone who's up to a trickster spirit and is not as considerate as he could be. Apparently. Well, all right.
Are you going to fit into the apparently I'm an asshole group?
Yeah. Shit. Brat.
Goodness gracious.
But it's fun. I have to admit it. It's something I'm willing to not be, but I have to be honest with you.
You like being a brat.
I get a certain brat-like satisfaction. Now it comes out. You like that tasty brat taste, huh? Well, let me tell you something. I suggest have a bratwurst. It's much less worse than the brat thing that you do. So have bratwurst. That's my recommendation.
Rabbi, you're becoming as ridiculous as Errol.
Well,
you hang out with him too much.
Not enough, right? No, it's always good. Yeah, it's always good to be
Listen,
with you.
What I'm aware of is that as we lose our image of who we are, this is when we begin to morph into love. Because no matter what image we have of ourselves, it's still an image. Love has no image. And that's why it's so hard for people to grasp it. We know images. We feel comfortable with images. Images is the reality. The other, the non-image, which is spiritual reality, is foreign to us. It's scary almost because we're so identified with image. So if we keep feeding images, if we keep feeding them, they hang around. But if we just go, it's an image, and we don't feed it, we have no resistance to it, we have no accolade for it, we just don't pay any attention to it, after a while it withers and goes away.
Apparently.
I'm experiencing that.
But it is this false sense of what we think of as real versus what is illusion. It's not as it seems. This is where we can thank science for pointing out that while we may think we are solid, we are actually mostly empty space with little patterns and relationships being the activity that is what we call life. But again, to remind ourselves, it is not as it seems.
Tell us stories of our wildest dreams that leave us empty in despair, but on our own. So everything is as it seems now. With the dark comes a harsher light, and you can't shake the shadow above that's following you up into the on with a smile and say to them, don't worry, carry on just for a while, you'll get lost and hurry. Can you see now that nothing's as it seems somehow? and everything you've ever lost must have a reason it is never found. Convince yourself you're better off, and you'll be fine. Or at least that's how it sounds. But when you don't know how much is enough, or will get in the way, and you can only bear your soul when you think that this is your day. But when it's not, and you get shot, you wish for someone else's luck, but you can't do nothing, so you must be doing something. Don't you know what it's like to disappear from someone else's life, so you can't paint your face and rather smile and say to them, don't worry, carry on just for a while. You'll get lost in hurry, can you see now? Yeah, can you see now? Can you see now that nothing's as it seems somehow?
Can you see it now? That was Gordy. And she says, everything you've ever lost must have a reason and it's never found. Convince yourself you're better off and you'll be fine. Or at least that's how it sounds like. There's an apparently. When the dark comes so harsh to life and you can't shake the shadows above, that's following you out into the night. Paint your face on with a smile and say to them, don't worry, carry on just for a while. You get lost in hurry. Can you see it now that nothing's as it seems somehow? But we try to appear to be what we seem to be, and we are the Laughing Hearts sponsored program of Inside Out, The Naked Truth. I encourage you to go to the Laughing Heart website because we have videos of Rochelle and I performing over the years, and I think you'll find them provocative.
Yeah, I look so much younger.
And we both look thinner, actually.
Not that we're so much far from thinner, but we're a little bit far from thinner.
We're on our way to the ultimate thinness.
Yes, when the fat and muscle are all gone.
And therein we will either realize that we are still, or we won't. Apparently.
Since we don't know, we don't know. There's so many tomes that Errol and I have been introduced to over the years that have influenced us, have inspired us, that we love. And somebody has asked me many times, do you think it's true? And I said, I don't know that it's true or not true. What I know is that it inspires me to be a better person. So therefore, for me, it has truth. But whether it's true or not, whether the things in the many books I have read are true, I don't know, because a lot of them talk about what happens after we die. Until I die, I'm not going to really know for sure. That much I do know, apparently.
But there is some comfort to know that infinity continues on.
I have experienced that feeling, that awareness.
But see, my faith informs me. Now, admittedly, it's my faith, and I don't know 100% for sure in my mind, but my faith, which I trust more than my mind, actually, informs me that the I that I am is an integral part of the fundamental I that I am, that is the fundamental aspect of all reality.
Great big I.
The big I. Like the big guy, but this is the big I. That I that I speak of when I drop all my delusions and appearances of what I think the I is. And I just get very centered into just the simplicity of self-awareness that there is an I here. And I'm willing to divest it of all these aspects of self that it wears as its garb.
as I practice that in the stillness and meditation and over the last 40 years or so, I have come to appreciate there is this continual I-ness, this continual self that exists independent of the stuff and the comings and goings of the finite universe.
Apparently, I have had the same experience many, many times. When I go beyond this material self with material thoughts and everything else like that, I have the hiccups. Are hiccups real or are hiccups an illusion?
Depends on who's having them.
Ooh, that was a big one. Well, I haven't had hiccups in such a long time, I forgot what they felt like.
But look at it this way. We've never really recorded hiccups. And just last week, I was thinking, gosh, I wish I had some recordings of hiccups. And here you are, practically an answer to prayer.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm able to share my hiccups with you.
Oh, there we go. There's the other one. Again, I want to thank our sponsors, Go Raw and Universe Spirit. Let's keep paying attention to this race. The question we could be asking and might behoove us to ask is, how can we best engage our lives in this world and the current set of circumstances to the degree that these collective large movements of politics and social movements and geological movements, and they're all conspiring to affect me, to do what? And that's where having an awareness.
What?
Oh, you want to know what?
Yeah.
The what is to realize my true nature and then expand on it infinitely.
When we begin to ask the questions of, like, who am I and what am I doing here? What's my purpose? A universal purpose, of course, is to grow our souls. I believe that's really true.
Because there's like a soul bin on the other side.
A soul bin?
Well, there's has-beens, and that's a different bin. And then there's soul bins. The has-beens were like mortals who were. They did their time. The soul bins are the ones who are becoming more and more a part of this phenomenon that is universe reality through this process that's called evolution. And it just gets richer and fuller and more amazing. Just think of the oceans and flowers and beautiful mountains and the moments of love that you had were real. And think of expanding all that. Because this moment, we're going to have to leave you, apparently, for the moment, though, and we'll be back next week, and you can go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, and we'd love to hear from you. But what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
That resistance is what you add to fear to make it last longer and hurt more, and I normally say pain, but it's fear.
Apparently.